Okay, we are in an Aleph and Aleph. Amaiti Mitzia Lo Yishba. We are in Aleph and Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines in the bottom. Amaiti Mitzia Lo Yishba Metikin Ailam. Now, just to put it in perspective, Rashi Shita is, okay, we'll see in a minute. We'll get in a minute. That's the Gemara Baita. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Shnei Kisim Kshura Metzasali. Somebody claims from his friends, you found two wallets tied together. I had two wallets, I don't know what he calls kiss, a wallet, purse, same thing. You found two of my purses tied together. And the guy said, I only found one. Nishba, he has to swear, he's a mighty b'mixas. Somebody claims, and you admit part, you have to swear. He's admitting part. Shnei shvarim kshurim metzasali. The guy says, you found two of my oxen tied together. B'aloi m'aloi v'echad, ein nishba. My taima, shvarim menatchi ma'adadi, kisim le'menatchi ma'adadi. The claim is a weaker claim by shvarim. Because everybody knows that even though you tie two oxen together, they can undo the knot. They pull away from each other. So it's very possible that he lost two tied together and the guy only found one. So he's not a mighty b'miktus because the claim is not a definite claim. The purses, there's no reason to believe that they untied from each other. So when the guy claimed, I lost two and you found two, and the guy says, I only found one, there's a tainus bari. There's a 100% claim, I lost two, you found the two. Whereas by the shvarim, his claim is weakened by the fact that it's very common that the shvarim undo the knot by pulling away from each other. Zok Rashi, v'alo oimer lo mitzvastia lo echad. Nishba, because the mefarish taima, like the Gemara explains the reason, the loy menatchi ma'adadi, they don't, curses don't pull away from each other. V'havale tanosu shoseh, tain is bari. It's considered a definite claim. He's 100% sure in his claim. Why? Since the guy admits that he has one. If he has one, then I'm sure he has two. That's what it means. Meaning, if the guy says, I have none, so there's nothing to talk about. Who says he found it? Obviously, he has one. So I'm claiming two because they were together, and they don't undo each other. In the admitted part. And therefore, the claim, even after the guy has one shar, it's not a definite claim, because they pull away from each other. What happens if the guy says, Shnei shvarim kshurim mitzasam, you found two shvarim that were tied together. And the guy answers him back, Matsasi, yes, I found two, but I gave you back one. This is a regular case of Benibimixus, right? You found two, and the guy says, yes, I found two, but I gave you back one. And the guy says, no, you didn't. That's a case of Benibimixus. Rashi, Shnei Shvarim Kshurim Matsasi Liv Aloimer Matsasi V'Chzarti Loch Nechabahem. This is a definite claim. Even though he never saw the guy find them. Because the guy admits that he found both. This is Rabbi Yitzchak talking. So, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying here, if we analyze what he's saying, is that the guy who found it could have said, I didn't find anything. There is no, it's a, he goes over to the guy and says, you found my things. No, I didn't. No, I didn't find your things. Right? So the guy who found it has no reason to be admitting anything. He's honest, but there's no other reason. So, still, Rabbi Yitzchak says, by admitting that he's the one that found it, we make the claim into a tainus bari. Right? By admitting you found one wallet and both of them were tied together, that's what the loser claims. That means he's saying a definite claim. He's not saying maybe you found two. If the guy would have said, I didn't find it, so the claim is a non-claim. You found my thing. No, I didn't. End of story. But admitting you found it, that means when I said two were tied together, and you admitted one, I am claiming 100% that there was two. It's not maybe you found two. I know you found two. Therefore, you might have admitted this. That's a big chiddush, because it's the admission of one that creates the tainus vari. The only reason the guy is sure to claim that he found both is because he admitted he found one. Had he not admitted he found one, there would have been no tainus vari. Let me try to explain. When I go and ask you for money that I lent you, I'm claiming the money whether you admit or not. I know you owe me money. My taina is a taina based on the fact that I know a fact. Now, I don't have evidence, but I'm claiming I'm 100% sure you borrowed money. You can respond, no, I didn't. You can respond, I only borrowed half. You can admit, you have options. But my claim is a bari on its own. Here, I walk over to somebody and I say, you found my two wallets. How do I know you found your two wallets? Maybe he's not the guy that found them. You don't have a claim that he found the two wallets. What turns the claim into a claim is the guy admits he found one. By admitting he found one and they're tied together, that means my claim becomes a definite claim. You owe me, there's two wallets. It's the admission of one that turns the claim into a bari. Without the admission of one, it wouldn't be a tainus bari. I don't know that the guy found it. I'm speculating. I go over to the guy and say, you found my wallets. He can look at me and say, huh? I don't have it. I don't know that he found my wallets. What makes me know is because he admitted one, so now I know that I have a definite claim for two because I know they were together. Whereas by the Shvarim, by him admitting one, it doesn't mean I'm right with two because they detach from each other. So I still can't claim he found two. By the wallets, by the fact that they were tied together, by him admitting one, my claim for two becomes a real claim. I'm trying to show that the only reason the claim is a claim is because of the admission. The admission of one turns the claim into a bari. It's not a bari on its own. I hope I'm explaining myself well.
Rabbi?
Just 1 second, Harvey. What?
Doesn't that contradict the initial statement of what we just learned? The guy who returned the wallet, he had two $100 bills in that, not one. So he admitted it was one. He returned the wallet. Now you're going to make him swear on the second.
Okay, that's what we're getting. That's why this Gemara is here. We're reading Rav Yitzchak. I'm just explaining his thing. Yes, he swear from our Mishnah. That's what we're going to get into. But I just want to explain Rav Yitzchak. That this is a different kind of claim than a claim of a loan. This is a claim that becomes a claim only because of a partial admission. If not, it would be no claim. You can't claim something, I'm 100% sure you found my wallet. How can you be sure I found your wallet? No, I didn't find your wallet. How does he have that claim?
Someone told him.
That doesn't mean anything. It's not a claim. Yes, Harvey.
My question was word for word Dr. Harris's question, but I would like to take this opportunity to ask the remote listeners to mute themselves.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you just said at the end.
I was talking to the remote listeners.
That's all. Okay. What? Why should the guy swear? He's being a nice guy. He admitted he found it. There's halacha, which, by the way, this is why Rashi holds it's a biblical law. Even though the Mishnah calls it Tikkun Olam, we had earlier, the Tikkun Olam can be that the Torah made it because of Tikkun Olam. Rashi's opinion is, proven at the end, that Rashi holds this concept that if I admit something that I had no reason to admit, I'm called a, there's no, that itself takes away a need for... Why am I admitting? Obviously, I'm an honest guy. So there's no reason to swear. So how can Rabbi Yitzchak come and say that my admission of one creates a shvua? I didn't have to admit anything. I could have said I didn't find anything. It's not like you had a claim. You had no claim. Your claim is based on my admission. How can you make me swear on a claim based on my admission?
Does it matter if the finder goes to the guy? Is that different than the lost guy coming to the finder?
At this point, no. Because it's the going to a finder is like a guess. You walk into shul, you walk over to the first guy and say, you found it. Like, it's baseless. Are you going to him? Alone, I know you owe me the money. Here, I don't know who found it. I'm guessing. That's not a claim. What turns into a claim is because he admitted part. His admission turns it into a claim. Isn't that Maitzi Mitzia Lo Yishma?
The Mishnah's case is really all situations.
Again, there has to be a reason of a difference. Not all differences make difference.
You took the initiative to go.
Again, if I walk over to a guy and I say, you found my Mitzia, why should he admit anything? Why should he admit? And for the Gemara, who Damakur bless him and Yaakov. Rabbi Yitzchak calls like a blessing of Yaakov that says, you're not a Meshav Aveda. And now, Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov doesn't say this right away. We have to figure out what he says, and we'll get back how it fits into Rabbi Yitzchak. But Rabbi Yitzchak does not agree that a Meshav Aveda, at least at this point, doesn't swear. Doesn't agree to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't agree to our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak can't argue in a Mishnah, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov can. D'tanya. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Eimer, Pamim, Sh'adam Nishba Tainis Atzvay. Sometimes a person swears by his own admission without being any claim. Ketzah. Mano Lovicha Beyadi, Vachal Tifras. You walk over to a guy and say, you should know, your father lent me $100, but I paid him back $50. Nobody ever asked him for $100. He walked over on his own. He offered to pay $50. Harry said, Nishma, he has to swear that he paid the $50. He's a Meshav Aveda. He was walking over on his own. There's no claim. He creates the problem. That's a person that swears on his own admission. The Chacham say, not true. The guy's walking over on his own. Why should he swear? So we're saying now, Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't hold to the concept of Meshav Aveda. Rashi. Who do I make a blessing of Yaakov? Again, we're not finished yet. We're in midstream. We are in midstream. You can't ask questions in midstream.
My question says, if blessing of Yaakov is arguing to the concept, I don't see that in our Mishnah, his name.
Every time it has to be mentioned in the Mishnah?
Well, after we did the Mishnah, we thought it was
a
no one's arguing.
Every time you have a Stam Mishnah, you have people arguing a Brisa. Mishnah doesn't. I have no idea what you just said.
No, we have a Mishnah now. Mishnah, there's this opinion.
Not every opinion of a Tana is on the Mishnah. Rabbi Avinu HaKadosh brought some opinions, and some opinions he ignored, and he left it, and the Brisa brings that opinion. Rashi, who damer kablazim Yaakov, the heichad the katavilei behind his bari. If the guy is asking, he's sure. Now we don't see anybody asking in the blazim Yaakov's case. We'll have to see that later. Loichashu le meishav aveda. It's not called the Meshav Aveda. I'll tie this out to my... Hashtamash Meshain Adam Tevay. Nobody's collecting. L'kama Mepharish L'betayin Ezeh Ben Hames. And later on we'll see that there is a claim. The Blessed be Yaakov never said what we just translated in Mesaic. So Rashi is pointing out, we're not comparing Rabbi Yitzchak's case to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov yet, because we really don't understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov yet. We'll see later on that the case is talking about that there is a claim, but it's a claim by the son of the deceased, as we will see, the Damiel of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is similar to the case of Rabbi Yitzchak. We'll leave to explain this Rashi at the end of the Gemara. But what Rashi is trying to point out is, we're not finished yet. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said a statement that at this point is not understandable. So we have to figure him out and then see how Rabbi Yitzchak holds like him. Where is this case? Dr. Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov less than Meshav Aved the Putter? Can anybody argue on this? Isn't it a biblical concept that if you walk over on your own and you're volunteering information, you should have to swear? Isn't this like an accepted fact? Is he arguing on this accepted fact? The Gemara does not want to live with the fact that any Tana would say that if you walk over on your own and you tell the guy, listen, I owe you $50, oh, you have to swear because you admitted you borrowed $100. Everybody agrees that if you didn't have to walk over and you walk over, that you're not chayiv. I'm a Rav, but tell you the cutting. What happened is, a cutting came and claimed it. A cutton said, you owe me $100. And the guy admitted that he owes $50. And the machloikas is, at this point, again, we're explaining it point by point, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, you have to swear. And Rabbanan is saying, a cutton's claim, we don't deal with. That's not a legitimate claim. And therefore, you're a Meshav Aveda. Can a cotton claim? Is a cotton's claim recognized in Bezen? But now we learned, we have a Mishnah that says that if the guy who's claiming is either a cheresh, deaf mute, or a shaita, deranged, or a cotton, we don't deal with it. So why is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying that a tainus cotton means something? Let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, V'achalta pras, v'chzarti lechetzi, I returned half. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov lesli, k'mayi, v'avinam ba, we had the following kasha. Rabbi Elazar lesli, chashosha, the tikkun ha'olam, the meshav aved, the pater mishua? Does Rabbi Elazar not think that we should pater a guy who volunteers information from a shua? Dim kei shavik lavazo, why would a guy ever return anything? Why would a guy be honest if he's going to have to swear? The guy never asked him. He's on his own volunteering information. Why in the world should he have to swear? So the Gemara tried, that a cotton claimed it. The Gemara rejected that out of hand. So we're not finished yet. I just want to explain, the Nachlus David says a beautiful shot here. He says, there's a mitzvah to be Meshav Aveda. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds, the guy will do the mitzvah, even if it means he has to swear. Meaning, here's a guy, he finds an item. The Torah said when you find an item, return it. So we want to make it takana, he shouldn't have to swear, because if not, he'll leave it. But he won't do the mitzvah? He won't do a mitzvah? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to return that Veda. So because, what are we afraid of? That he won't return it because he doesn't want to swear. That means he won't do the mitzvah? So the Nachlus David says a nice shot. He said, you don't always have to return an Aveda. For instance, if a Rashiva is walking in the street and he finds a baseball bat, he doesn't have to pick it up and return it. Because it's embarrassing for him to walk in the street with a baseball bat. So he's not mechuyev to do a Shavas Aveda. There's sometimes you're absolved from a Shavas Aveda. What we're afraid of is the guy will say, the Torah doesn't want me to do this mitzvah and have me swear. The Torah doesn't like swearing. He'll use this as an excuse that he's putter from the mitzvah. It's not that he'll ignore the mitzvah. He'll say, listen, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to go. He's going to make me swear. The Torah would rather me not pick it up. The Torah doesn't like me swearing. The Torah doesn't encourage swearing. So it's not pshat he's going to ignore the mitzvah. He's going to say that he's putter from the mitzvah because he has to swear. That's how the Nachum Zalman explains what we're afraid of. The guy's going to say, the Torah doesn't want me to swear, so why should I get involved and have to swear? I'm putter from the mitzvah. So obviously he doesn't have to swear, so what's that Rabbi Zalman Yaakov? So he enters the cotton. The Gemara rejected that cotton can't claim. And for the Gemara, my cotton guddle, Rav didn't mean a cotton. He meant an adult son. But my carlay cotton, the legabe mili the other cotton who. Compared, he's considered when he talks about his father's business, he's really not that aware. And therefore, when he claims you owe my father money, it's not like the strongest claim. It's a claim, but it's not really a guy that can be, he's sure, he claims he's sure, but it's not the same as a guy claiming about himself. Because Lamites, it's not his affairs, it's his father's.
Who came to who in that case?
So we're saying now that the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is that the son claimed it. That he didn't walk over to the son and say, I owe you, father. The son came to him and said, you owe my father $100. And he admitted 50.
He's basing on a memory of childhood or adulthood?
He looks at a paper. As an adult.
The guy came over to the kid. Okay, I thought his mother loved him.
So we're saying now that the case is that the kid claimed it. We're saying shot in the brisa up. That, we're still in midstream. And we're translating that to mean that the guy walked over and said, you owe my father $100. The guy said, yes, I did, but I paid half.
Has it fit with the older, has it fit now?
It's an older son that came and claimed that you owe my father $100.
So it's not a tainus bari.
Can't hear you.
So it's not a tainus bari.
It is a tainus bari.
It's not a
It is a tainus bari.
But it's not a
but
bari showing.
What? But it's about
it's
somebody else. It is a bari. It is a bari, but it's a weaker bari, that's all.
Yeah, it's not a real bari. It's not a bari like his own.
I mean very muffled. What?
It's not a bari of his own. It's not his own bari.
It's not a bari that you owe my father.
Bari, Memela, they can't do it, you see. He's not going to make a shvuah.
Okay, let the Gemara explain itself. I'm not going to get about it. At this point, okay. He's claiming 100% you owe my father money. Not maybe. I'm definitely sure you owe my father money.
Rabbi, why would Rav speak so opaquely? Why wouldn't he say what he means here?
I don't know. You were in midstream. At the end of the day, all these questions will fall away. At this point, I don't know the answer. Frank the Gemara, my car like cutting the guy that really loves cutting who? Lamaisa, when it comes to his father, he's sure, but he's still not, it's not him, it's his father's. So he can't be 100% confident, even though he claims to be confident. How can the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say you swear on your own admission? It's not true. Somebody claimed it. The words of the brisa don't make sense. Tainus atzmai indicates that he's not responding to a claim, but he's initiating something. The way you explained it, somebody else is initiating it. And for the Gemara, you're right. It doesn't mean he's initiating. It means somebody claimed it and he's admitting it. Every bite of a mitzvah is somebody claimed and you admit it. What makes this different than any other bite of a mitzvah? And why would the Rabbanan say he's not a bite of a mitzvah? Right? We're entering now that the guy is coming and saying, you owe my father $100. A definite claim. The guy's admitting 50. Isn't this a regular case of mitzvah b'mikdash? You owe me money, you owe me 50. You owe my father money, I only owe him 50. It's the same thing. So why is this pointed out to be different? What makes this different? It's a regular claim. Rashi. Zok to Rashi. Why should that make a difference?
Because
so let's see, again, we're in midstream. This is the problem. The Gemara is going to work out all these things. Let's give the Gemara a chance. Rashi. Why does the Braisa call it Tainas Atzmai? Tainas Acheremi. It means he admitted that he's still chayav part of it. Hu nishba. And the question is, every might of a mikdash is this way. That's why you swear. Would Rabbanan argue? There's a claim. We have a common problem. What do you mean? Sometimes a person swears. All cases he swears when he admits to a claim. We made it sound like this is unique. This is different. This is not the regular might of a mikdash. Why? There's a claim and an admission. This is might of a mikdash. Sometimes. This is it. And what did Rabbanan mean that you don't swear? Why not? There's a claim and an admission. We're talking in the case of Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. We're in the brice of Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. We have not compared Reb Yitzchak yet to it. We're still, as I tried to say when I started, the Gemara says Reb Yitzchak is like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, but we haven't explained Reb Lezer ben Yaakov yet. First the Gemara is going to explain Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, then we'll see how Reb Yitzchak fits into it. And for the Gemara, Elo b'de Rabba Kamiflugi. The argument, Rabbanan and Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, is in the case of Rabba. And Rashi learns a cutness claiming. Even a cutness claiming. And even though we said before that a cutten, because Rashi is bothered by the word Tainas Atzmai. So Rashi wants to learn that Tainas Atzmai means a kid is claiming, even if the kid is a cutten. We only reject a cotton when he claims that I lent you money. But when he claims that his father lent money, that's, we take that claim seriously. Rashi learns, this is Rashi's shot, other Rishonim argue. The Rashi is bothered by the word atzmai. If the kid is claiming, it's not atzmai. Therefore Rashi says, it's even a little kid claiming. Even a little kid claiming. It makes no difference. Even a little kid claiming. Now, little kid claiming, usually we don't take seriously. But when he's claiming for his father, we do take him seriously. And we call it atzmai because the bottom line is it's a small kid claiming it. So in our mind, it's as if there's no claim. There is a claim. The claim is from a kid. And it doesn't make a difference if the kid is an adult or a cotton. And that's why we're calling it atzmai, to say that even though usually we reject a claim like this from a cotton, in this case, that the cotton is not claiming his own, he's claiming you owe my father, we do take it into account.
We said before, knowing about someone else is a griusa. Now we're using that as a phyla.
I have no idea what you're asking.
You don't know about someone else's thing more than your own.
We still don't know. We still don't know.
And here we're saying, a cotton, Lagabi, the father, has more power than his own.
Because a cotton cannot be believed to say he lent money. He's a cotton.
But if I know more about my father's stuff?
He can claim his father's stuff, correct. Let's learn Rashi. Ella, loy tema b'tayna gadol. It's not talking about a gadol. Ella b'tayna cotton. The cotton's claiming. I, the kashalok, ainish bo maltayna's cotton. Aye, we said you don't swear by the claim of a cotton. Hani mili b'shatayne hivkati loch. That's when he said he did something. I gave you up a cotton. The gabi shua ksiv ki yitain ish, a loy cotton. So the man has to give it, not a cotton. Avo bo b'taynis aviv. But if he comes with his father's claim, nishbo amafilu the cotton. Then you would swear. Rabbanan, I feel the godly in this book. And Rabbanan say, I don't care who the kid is. Whether he's a glutton or a glutton, you don't swear. We still haven't explained why, but we're saying there's no difference the age of the kid. And that's why it's called Tainus Atzmai. It's called Tainus Atzmai because it's being claimed by a kid. The problem we had was, why is it called Tainus Atzmai? The kid is claiming. The answer is the kid might be a glutton. And even so, we don't take a glutton's claim seriously. In this case, we do take it. At least according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Kidnam b'shvus, mana la'ava b'yadcha, ein loy b'yad yal chamishim dinar pater. According to Rabbanon, even if an adult kid claims, you owe my father 100, and the guy says, I only owe him 50, he doesn't swear. But the rabbi, please. So the Gemara is answering, and we still haven't explained it completely, is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon are arguing in a case when a son claims, you owe my father money. That's going to be the machlokes. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say, he swears, any son. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say, you swear, and Rabbanan will say, you don't swear. Why? We'll see in a minute. But Rashi is concentrating on is how did we answer the word Tainus Atzmai? That's what's bothering Rashi. We didn't like the fact that we said a gutl is claiming his father. We said the Braisa said Tainus Atzmai. So Rashi answers that since it's even a cotton claiming, we can call it Tainus Atzmai. It makes no difference how old the son is. He can be 8, he can be 20. Either way, there's going to be a machloikus of Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon. And what the machloikus is about, we're going to see. It makes no difference whether the guy who's claiming it is an adult son or a cotton. The reason the Braisa calls it Tainus Atzmai is to allude to the fact that Elazar ben Yaakov would even consider the tain of a cotton as a valid tain. So the word Tainus Atzmai is to include the cotton. If it had been only an adult son, we wouldn't have called it Tainus Atzmai. This is a language issue. The Braisa said Tainus Atzmai. Our problem is, if the kid's claiming it, why is that Atzmai? The answer is, because the kid that's claiming it is not much he's a cotton. Right. So a cotton is considered like himself, meaning he doesn't... Again, a kid can claim his father's claim. But the bottom line is, he's a weak claimer because he's a cotton. So we consider it like Atzmai. I'll admit that it's hard to explain, but I'll just try it again. Rashi is bothered by the word Atzmai. If it's a kid claiming his father's thing, so there's a claimant here, so it's not Tainus Atzmai. Somebody's claiming it. So Rashi says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is using the word Atzmai to tell me that even if a cotton's claiming it, we take it seriously. And the Atzmai doesn't really mean Atzmai, but it means somebody that you wouldn't usually consider as a legitimate claimant, if that's the word. You wouldn't consider it, you do consider it here. So by telling us Atzmai, he's alluding to that. That's not the reason in the Machlokes. It will make no difference whether the guy is 12 or 20. That machlokes that's going to be in this mishnah braisa is going to be explained regardless of the kid's age. But by saying the word Tainus Atzmai, the Blessed Rabbi Yaakov wants to tell me that I even take a cotton's claim seriously. It's a way of expressing that. At the end of the day, no difference in this case. See, we have the, again.
Is Atzmo a reason to believe the kid or not to believe him?
It makes no difference.
So
it's only there to tell me that this are. You know what? Let me finish the Gemara and I'll come back to this.
Okay.
Because the problem is, we don't.
His father's still alive?
No.
His father was alive, he couldn't do this.
No. I can't claim somebody else's loan, no. No. Okay, the rabba. Who would the rabba commit for you? They're arguing in rabba. So I'm a rabba. Now, rabba says the following thing. Now, Rabbah is a statement by itself. So we're going to understand Rabbah's statement, and then we'll come and apply it back to this Raisa. Elabah de Rabbah Kamiflagi. They're arguing in Rabbah's halacha. Dama Rabbah. Mima amra taira maida mitzis atai di yeshava. Why does the Torah say a guy admits 50 pays? Let me try to explain Rabbah's question. I go over to somebody, I say, you owe me $100. He says, I don't owe you a penny. He doesn't have to swear biblically. I go over to the guy, I say, you owe me $100. Ramesh owes me $100. Ramesh, he owes me $100. He says, I don't owe you a penny. He doesn't have to swear. If he admits 50, he has to swear. Doesn't make any sense. If you were a lawyer, he would tell me he doesn't owe me a penny. Why does he have to swear? He has a migul. He could have said he owes me nothing and not have to swear. Because he's saying he owes me 50, he has to swear. Correct, Rabba, why? Zok Rabba, because Chazaka ain't other mayas panabim neibah chayvah. People don't lie to people who did them favors. You don't lie to somebody who did you a favor. So really, v'hai b'kula b'ayah d'mechvir lay. He would love to tell me he owes me nothing. V'hai d'loy kafrei, why is he not telling me that? V'shum d'ayin ad d'mayas panabim neibah chayvah. He doesn't have a migul. He couldn't say he owes me nothing. Because that would be lying to the guy who did him a favor, and he can't do that. It takes away his migul. His migul is, if I'm a liar, I would have said I owe you nothing. No, you can't say. Your behavioral instinct does not let you lie to a guy who did you a favor. So, therefore, Bakula by delay. He should really admit that he owes me $100. Delay. He's trying to delay it. He doesn't have the $100. He's stuck. I want my $100. He doesn't have the $100. He'd love to tell me, I don't owe you a penny, but he can't. His human behavior that says, you don't look to a guy who did you a favor and tell him, you lie to him, he can't lie. On the other hand, that should say he should be honest. But he can't be honest because he doesn't have the $100. So what he does is, he says, I owe you 50. That way, he doesn't feel guilty for lying, because he's admitting 50. And one day, he'll pay back the other 50. That's what he tells himself. That's his rationale. Zok de Taira, swear. Sovra ad ha'avili zuzi paranale. He's rationalizing it. He can't say, I owe you nothing. Human behavior doesn't let him. He can't say, I admit 100, doesn't have the money. So what he does is he admits 50. It takes away his guilt. And at the same time, he tells himself, I'll pay him one day. So the Torah said, swear. So this is Rabbah's halacha. Why is admitting 50 worse than saying nothing? Because saying nothing means you have a reason. There's a reason to believe you. You wouldn't look the guy in the face and say you don't owe him a penny if he did you a favor. So obviously, if you say you don't owe him anything, it gives us reason to believe you. You're admitting 50. That means you're not saying you owe him nothing. You can't say you owe him nothing because you can't look at a guy who did you a favor in the eye and say, I don't owe you anything. But you don't want to admit the whole thing because you don't have the money. So you're using this as a cop-out to take away your guilt. So to tell you, I swear. That's Rabbah's halacha. Now, if a kid of the guy who did you a favor comes over and says, you owe my father money, do you have that guilt complex in telling him, no, I don't? Would you tell the kid of the guy who did you a favor? Would you lie to him? You can't lie to the guy who did you a favor. How about to the kid? Dr. Blazer Yaakov, just like you wouldn't lie to the guy who did you a favor, you wouldn't lie to his kid either. And therefore, just like a regular might have been swears, if the kid claims it, you also swear. And Rabbana say, no. You don't lie to the guy who did you a favor, but you do lie to his kid. And you're not, that means you have a migul. And you don't have to swear. You would lie to the kid. So why are you admitting 50? Must be, that's the truth. Rabbi Blazer B'Yaakov says, the kid's treated like his father. You wouldn't lie to his father, you wouldn't lie to the kid either. You don't look at a kid of a guy who lent you money and lie to him. Therefore, you don't have a migul. So therefore, you swear. And Rabbana say, yes, you would. You would lie to a kid of the guy who did you a favor. He didn't do you a favor. His father did. Therefore, the fact that you're admitting 50, you're believed. That's the machloikas of Lezim and Yaakov and Rabbanan according to the Maskana. So let's get over it again. Pamim shadam nishma tainis atzmai doesn't mean he admits on his own. Everybody agrees if you go and admit, you don't have to pay. You go in and you offer something, nobody's going to make you swear. What happened was the kid claimed it. Whether the kid is a guddle or a cut makes no difference. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov calls it tainis atzmai because the kid can be a cut. And he's saying there's a claim here. You have to swear you're a might of a mitzvah. Rabbana say, no, you're not, because the claim is somebody you could lie to. And if you could lie to him, you have a migul. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, you can't lie to the kid. His father did you a favor. How could you lie to him? Just like you can't lie to the guy himself. That's the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbana.
In the Bayer Shabbos Aveda?
So now let's take it to the case of Hashavas Aveda. The case of Hashavas Aveda is similar. The guy came and claimed, you found my Aveda. Out of the clear blue, he claimed that you found my Aveda. That was Rabbi Yitzchok's case, right? Now you could tell him, no, I didn't, right? You could tell him, no, I didn't. You admitted part, right? Because you admitted part, you're creating him to be a tainus bari. So the Gemara feels that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that would be considered a non-meshiv aveda. Because since he asked you. So since he asked you, you're not, like Avram said all the way at the beginning, there's a difference between the guy walks over himself and says, I found your aveda, or when somebody asks you, you found my aveda. The claim, you found my aveda, is enough that the guy is considered a might of a mixus.
And he's not, there's no miku there? That's not, you can't say.
What? I know, this is a difficulty in Rashi's shot. Let's go back to that Rashi, the beginning of the page. Al tainis atzmai, hashta mashma she'en adam tevoi, ulekama mefarish lo, betoinai ze ben hameis, the damula d'Rabbi Yitzchak. We're comparing the case of when the guy asked for the Aveda, and the guy admitted, I found it, to the case of the son claiming, even though really there's a big difference between the two. In one case, he did you a favor. In the other case, nobody ever did anybody a favor. Why can't the guy lie? So I don't have a good answer to that. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
Comparing the case of the asking the Veda to the son that was
claiming it alone. Even though it's different, that's the problem. I don't have a good... Let's read the Gemara. Zog to Gemara. Reblezim b'yakim savet loishna b'bnai ein emeyes. He would never reject it. Hilkach lab meishra vedahu. Rabbanus are rebuyed in the mayans. You don't like to lie to the guy himself. Avu b'bnei mayans, b'bnei mayans meishel aveidu. So the machlokes of Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanon is there was a claim, but the claim was from a son, regardless of his age. Rabbanon say, you don't lie to the guy, but you lie to his son. Therefore you have a miku. And Elazar ben Yaakov says, you don't lie to the son either. And therefore you have no miku. Now, how that compares to the case of Aveda, I'm not sure. Because in the case of Aveda, nobody did you a favor. Why would Rabbi Yitzchok say that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you would swear?
You did you a favor by admitting.
What?
He did you a favor by admitting.
I don't know, so that's the other way, the opposite way. It's not that the guy who claims did you a favor.
This is the essence of this Gemara. It's like out of nowhere, this machlokes from Elazar ben Yaakov, he's explaining Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabba.
What?
Their whole thing is a kid, if he comes and claims. This has nothing to do with what our main goal was, to try to explain. It's like,
that's Tyson's
discussion.
Tyson's Kasha Rashi. It is. Tyson says at the end of the day, how is Rabbi Yitzchak like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov?
Well,
You're right.
Well, why be happy if Toys is not? It's not. Gemara's question is that will she be happy if Toys?
Yosef's claim is always considered Hashem's happy.
What?
When it comes to
your sermon,
we call
that. Well, that's the Machlokes. Yaakov said you wouldn't lie to the son. So it's not Hashem Tavein.
Don't we at least term it for like.
According to the Rabbanon. But that faces discussion on Rashi. At the end of the day, how's your people look like a blessing of Yaakov?
What did he say?
He has a whole different shot in the Gemara. I agree with you. I don't have a better shot.
Where's the Tikkun Olam part of it? What's the Tikkun Olam? The whole Mishnah was talking about.
Again, Rabbi Yitzchak does not agree to our Mishnah. He holds a Rabbi Yitzchak.
You make him swear by a Shabbos.
Not by every case, when there's a claim.
Where would it. So when is there. When is there everybody hold you don't swear by a Shabbos?
When you walk over on your own and say, I found your Aved. Now, the problem is. What difference does it make if it's a claim? The guy's not 100% sure. Your admission is what makes his claim into a claim. So he answers like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's not really. That's the problem.
By the way, I just saw your possession by Nana.
That's not Shabbos Aveda then. It's different. Rashi. Chazak Eina Demei Espanov. Lichbaris Hakel, Hilchach Meshuay Das Hamikzas, Ein Neman Al Hashar. Doesn't have a migul. I be cool about the lichbar. He loves to lie, but he can't lie because of human behavior. So then, why are we making him swear? Because he tamed loy nishba hashara. So don't make him swear. The migul the chasham amayin the chasham amashuasa. He is lying about 50. The answer is amayin the chasham. He really doesn't want to lie. But the kafra be cool. He's not lying. The lie is he's not denying it. He really would like to admit the whole thing. He's not a bad guy. He doesn't want to steal. He's trying to delay. Rashi is explaining there's two sides to this story. He's not lying because he can't lie. So then, why are we making him swear? Terence says he's not admitting because he doesn't have the money. He's not a bad guy.
Under pressure of a hole.
Correct.
Is the
only difference
between Rafinha's $5?
I'm sorry?
Is the Rafinha's worth even at $5? You say
$50. Might have made this any amount. 10 cents. Doesn't make a difference. So I admit, at the end of the day, I'm not sure how Rabbi Yitzchak Zucker blows in New York. We're going to Russia. I don't understand. Maybe I'll look around tonight. I'll see more. Later.
He's losing his
laid back.
He's not making a
shvua.
He is making a shvua.
The shvua will stop him from delaying. He's not going to lie. He's not going to swear falsely.
So, in other words, he ends up not making a shvua. No, he's not going to make a false shvua.
And if he does, he's right.
Ain other may is the same thing as Migu the Chassid. Is that different?
Do you have that term? Ain other may is, Rashi learns, is if somebody does you a favor, you don't lie to him. Okay, Baruch Hashem, everybody have a great day.